To be here in Romans chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, turn to Romans chapter 15. In the concluding section of Romans chapter 15, Paul reminds us that we have a mission. And if you're a believer in Christ, you have the same mission as the Apostle Paul. It might not take the exact same form as the Apostle Paul's, but we do have a mission. We'll be picking up in Romans chapter 15, verse 14. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus, then, I have reason to be proud of my work for God, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what God Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience. By word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain, and to be helped on my journey thereby you, once I have enjoyed your company for a while. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Verse 30, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So, that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we turn our attention to this text that speaks not only to Paul's mission, but to the mission that is laid upon us all as followers of Christ to make the name of Christ known, we pray that you would burden our hearts for the lost, knowing that 80% of our county is without a relationship with Christ, and that two-thirds of the 7+ billion people that live on our planet do not know Christ, and that many thousands of people groups, even now, are living and dying with no knowledge of you and no knowledge of your Son. And so we pray that through your word that you would remind us what we are to be, a people on mission for you. And we pray that if there are any in here this morning that have not trusted in Christ for salvation, that today they would. For this we pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. As I said, all of us are on mission for Christ. It has been said by Spurgeon that we are either missionaries as Christians or imposters. And sometimes the mission, the way that we are on mission, takes a different form from others. I can't help but be reminded of the story of the chaplain to Nuremberg, Henry Gerke, who served initially as an army chaplain after almost a lifetime of ministry in the Lutheran Church. When the World War II broke out and his sons were drafted, he volunteered himself in his 40s, requesting and receiving an exemption for being above service age. And after he had served his time as a chaplain and the war with Germany came to a close, and he thought his mission was over, the Lord and the U.S. Army gave him another mission: to serve as chaplain to the war criminals housed at Nuremberg, where he spent his time ministering to them while they awaited trial for the crimes that they had done. And just when his time in service was coming to an end, and he had the option of being able to return home and leave these individuals that we can't even begin to understand what it was like to minister to, they wrote his wife. The Nazi war criminals wrote his wife begging her to encourage him and allow him to continue on past his period in service because, as they said, only he can reach us. And there were many that he reached there on mission. Here we see Paul with that same attitude of being on mission. We see first Paul's purpose. Secondly, we see the priority of his mission. And finally, we see him call for prayer. Paul makes it clear that he understands his purpose in light of God's grace. He says in verse 15, "Because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God." Paul understood from the moment he encountered the risen Christ on the Damascus Road that he had a new mission in life. Whereas when he encountered the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, he was a blasphemer and persecutor of the church and no friend of Gentiles. From that time onward, he understood that the grace of God required of him to be on mission to the Gentiles. He understood that his apostolic mandate, whereas the 12 were to be the apostles to the Jewish world, it was his unique life mission to be the apostle to the Gentiles. That everything in his life was to be resolved around that singular purpose. And he continues, "So that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." Verse 17, "In Christ Jesus, then I have reason to be proud of my work for God." Paul's understanding of his purpose of being a minister to the Gentiles was that it was his understanding that his purpose and practice were that in each region he would seek to plant a church for the Gentiles, so that in those major Gentile regions, those churches that he would plant would spread the gospel all around. Paul understood that if he tried to hit each and every village and community, he would not get as far as he could in being strategic about his purpose. And so Paul understands that he has fulfilled God's purpose for him. So he says in verse 18, "For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to the obedience by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God." He understands that it was not he working alone, but Christ working through him to bring about this point in his ministry. So as he says in verse 19, "So that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Illyricum, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. And thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel." So Paul's saying, here in this geographic region, I have fulfilled my ministry. There is a church in every major metropolitan area so that the gospel can continue spreading throughout the area. I have left those areas with a witness of Christ. The foundation for gospel fruitfulness has been laid. That doesn't mean that all of them heard the gospel, but Paul understood that the mission for the people that he had reached was now for them to reach those surrounding areas. And sometimes we like to use that term unreached very loosely. I often hear of pastors talking about our own context of being unreached. It's true that 80% of Mercer County is not in church and does not know Christ, but that does not mean that they are not reached. To say somebody's unreached is to say that they have no witness for Christ present in their area. If we say that Mercer County's unreached, what does that say about us? Our purpose, although it might take a different shape from Paul, is the same as Paul's. Often think of the ministry of the gospel as something reserved for pastors, missionaries, maybe deacons and Gideons. But the Great Commission is given to all of us. Jesus says in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And if the apostles were faithful, and they were, to teach others to observe all that they commanded, all that Christ commanded, then they would have taught those that they discipled to reach others. We, as believers in Christ, have one purpose for being present on this planet Earth, and that is so that we could be a witness to others. And so Paul sees this broad geographic area from Jerusalem to Illyricum, and he sees in his mind's eye the churches that have been planted through the work of Christ in the life of the Apostle Paul. And so Paul sees that in this area, he's run out of work. That doesn't mean the mission is over for Paul. Note what Paul says. I fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ, verse 20, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This was Paul's purpose in life, making sure others heard the gospel, and his unique calling was as a frontier missionary so that the gospel would be heard in places that had not been heard before. It's a sad reality that we still live at a time where there are countless thousands of people groups that have never heard the gospel. In 2018, Jonathan Chow attempted to reach the Sentinelese Island and the people that lived in the Sentinelese Islands off the coast of India, a people that have had no contact with the outside world. And many, not just unbelievers, but many believers criticized him because not only did he die in the attempt, but they said, should we even be doing this? Should we be reaching out to these people who have had no contact with the outside world? And I think it's because far too often those who profess to be believers in Christ forget that outside a saving relationship with Christ, it is 100% certain that those who do not know Christ will die and go to hell. Hebrews 9:27 tells us that it is appointed for man to die and then the judgment. We die once and then the judgment. And so Paul's purpose is that those who face a Christless eternity would hear of Christ and be saved. And we come to see the priority this takes in Paul's life, beginning in verse 22.
You know, you ever have things that you want to do, but you have something bigger that takes priority of them? Paul had many things that he wanted to do. He's already made it clear right at the beginning in this epistle that he often desired to come to the church of Rome. He says in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 8, he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayer, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I might reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles." Paul's purpose took priority of what he wanted to do. Many times he wanted to go to Rome. Many times he wanted to be encouraged by their faith and see what God was doing in the church of Rome. But time after time, God's purpose for his life took priority for his wishes. And so Paul can say in verse 22, "This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you." This being his desire to make the gospel known where it was not known. Paul understood there was a church in Rome. Sure, he wanted to have fellowship with them. Sure, he wanted to be encouraged by them and to encourage them. But he understood that fulfilling God's purpose for his life was more important than fulfilling his own personal desires. The gospel took priority in his life. Yet, if we're honest with ourselves, how often have we been unable to do something because of the priority of the gospel in our life? Oftentimes, we will make time for everything else but this. We'll carve time out for our family. We carve time out for our work. We'll carve time out for vacation. But how often do we carve time out and say, "This is time that I must be sharing the gospel"? And so that somebody offers us tickets to the UK game and it's our time that we're sharing the gospel, we say, "No, I have to be about this mission. I would love to go to the UK game, but I have to be about this work." So Paul says, "This is the reason why I've so often been hindered from coming to you. But now that from Jerusalem and all the way around to Iconium, he has fulfilled the ministry of the gospel. Now that he has run out of places to go, major metropolitan areas to bring the gospel to so that it will spread to the surrounding areas. Now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I've longed for many years to come to you, I hope to see you in passing." So Paul understands, okay, the door has opened to Rome, but the door to Rome is not for him to retire there and enjoy the Christian fellowship with the Romans. Paul's eyes are opened to the greater opportunity in front of him. See, we often miss this fact. You know, so often we can think, you know, Romans is just theology. All it is just systematic theology. This is Paul's missionary letter. This is Paul basically writing them and putting them in the position that they have to support him when he shows up on their doorstep a few months after the letter arrives. That way he doesn't show up unexpected and unannounced. That way they can have a room waiting for Paul when he gets there. Verse 24, "I hope to see you in passing. I don't plan on staying with you forever because there's another region that needs to hear the gospel as I go to Spain." The understanding of the world, this was the westernmost part of the Roman Empire. This is Paul trying to go from sea to sea, shore to shore, so that the glory of God would be known. I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. Paul has a plan in place. He has some other things that he has to take care of. Verse 26, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. Acts tells us that the only thing binding on Gentile believers that they had to remember the poor. And Paul says to the church in Galatia that they were happy to do this. And so there seemed to be a regular contribution for the poor in Jerusalem. And Paul is bringing that money back so he can go back and continue on mission. Continues, verse 27, for they were pleased to do it, indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share the spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. So Paul says that Gentile believers, and I don't think there's an expiration date on this, have an obligation to be in concern about the well-being of the Jewish people. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, that is, if the Gentiles have come to know the gospel of salvation through Christ and come to know these spiritual blessings, then also to be of service to them in material blessings. Now, I try not to watch too much news because there's so much bad news. But one thing that seems to be more common in the news, and if I'm catching it, it has to be really common, is anti-Semitism. I've heard about it in our own state. It seems to be on the rise, not just in our own country, but throughout the West. Paul says that we should be concerned about that. Paul makes clear that salvation comes from the Jewish people because Christ is a Jewish Savior. And so we who have received the spiritual blessings of the gospel should do everything in our power to make sure that our Jewish neighbor can live at peace and know the material blessing of not having to fear violence being done to them simply because they are Jewish. That's the least we can do. And so it continues in verse 28, when therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. Paul's volunteered them. He's not even asking them. He's saying, that room better be ready. I'm going. And that's the end of that. And he says in verse 29, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Paul knows that he will be a blessing to them and they will be a blessing to him as he continues on. You know, Acts closes with Paul's first Roman imprisonment. I say first because he didn't spend a lot of time in Rome there. He was under house arrest. Paul would continue on, history tells us, to the uttermost parts, the westernmost parts of the Roman Empire. Paul's missionary letter did accomplish its purpose. Paul would go on to proclaim the gospel to those who had not heard it in Spain, continuing his purpose of making the gospel known. And sometime after that, Paul would be arrested and imprisoned in Rome again, not in house arrest like he was at the end of the book of Acts, but in the dungeon, chained to a Roman soldier awaiting his execution. But Paul understood his purpose was not over yet. Paul understood later on in life when he wrote his son in the faith, he knew when his time was up, but he understands that there was work for him to do. And so he encourages them to be in prayer. which models what the Lord Jesus himself said about the harvest. The Lord Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful. Pray to the Lord of the harvest for workers. And so Paul is asking the church of Rome to pray for himself as a worker. Note verse 30. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So Paul is telling them, he's already made it clear that there's an open mission field beyond them in Spain. So Paul is essentially telling them, pray for me as a worker. Pray that I would be able to continue making the gospel known. You know, we are so spoiled in all the resources that we have to pray for missionaries. If you have a smartphone, you could go to any number of Baptist websites. I get an email every Sunday morning about praying for church planters here in Kentucky. The IMB, our International Mission Board, one of the primary reasons we as Southern Baptists cooperate together, daily shares updates on what is going on in any given part of the world and how you can be praying for your missionaries. We have an embarrassment of resources. And if we're honest with ourselves, do we think we pray as much as the early church did for their missionaries? Do we pray as much for the ongoing mission of Christ and making the gospel known as we do for everything else? Sad confession. I think that oftentimes we are more comfortable and find it easier of praying sick people out of heaven than praying the lost into a saving relationship with Christ. Paul makes it clear. He understands that this mission, his purpose, is not going to come about in his own strength or the strength of Rome. You know, there's a story that a Chinese believer had come to visit the U.S., and he made the comment to those that he was visiting how much they accomplished without prayer. We might be able to accomplish a lot without prayer, but I'll guarantee you this, anything that we accomplish without prayer will not be of eternal value. You know, a church can have great programs without prayer. A church can be packed from wall to wall and door to door with people without prayer. But nothing of eternal value will ever be done without prayer. And so Paul closes with that final point, to be in prayer for the workers. To be in prayer for the work itself. And as we come to this close, I would ask you to be in prayer for our missionaries. I admit I can do a better job of informing us. I oftentimes think that it's just so easy to get a hold of. But let us make a priority of praying for our missionaries. Let us make it a priority of praying for the gospel to go out. Let us make it a priority of praying for our Gideons as they give the word out. As I shared last Saturday at the Gideon's banquet, I am here because of the ministry of the Gideons in my life. I received a Gideon's New Testament at graduation. This was a time when they could give and take no for an answer. I could not and would not take no for an answer. And reading that Bible at Great Lakes Naval Base, I came to a saving relationship with Christ. And everything that has happened since is because I came to trust in Christ through his word, because somebody went and did the work. Well, let us pray for our workers. Let us pray for the lost. And let us seek to live a life of purpose on mission for Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And pray that if there are any in here who have not trusted in Christ for salvation, that you would open their eyes to the beauty of Jesus. And for those of us who are your followers, I pray that you would impress upon our hearts anew
the importance of the mission that you've given us to make your gospel known. We would support it through sharing the gospel, through praying for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ during your service, and providing financially for the work to be done. For this we pray in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.